the children of Loki. Loki is easily one of the most unique and enigmatic characters within Norse mythology, as discussed in the previous video covering him. Part of what makes him so unique are the various children that he had, and their roles in the myths. While most of these children have been covered already in other videos, this video will consolidate all the info we have on the children of Loki. Seen as Loki is at least half Jotun, thanks to his father, and possibly a full Jotun if his mother was also one, his children can also be technically considered Jotnar as well. What exactly that entails is debatable, as most of his children are more monstrous or animalistic than Jotnar tend to be. The two most normal of his children were only mentioned in relation to the binding of Loki after the death of Baldur. There's some confusion on their names, between Nari, Narvi, or Vali, but at least one of them was the son of Loki's wife, Sigyn. One of these children was transformed by Odin into a wolf, who proceeded to devour his brother. The brother's entrails were then used to bind Loki to some stones in a cave. Practically nothing else is known of these children. Of the situation with Loki's children, Loki giving birth to Sleipnir the horse is among the strangest. The story has already been mentioned in previous videos, but I'll repeat it here for completion's sake. During the fortification of Asgard, when the gods hired a Jotun to construct walls around their realm, Loki was the one to forge the agreement between them and the Jotun. The agreement, which involved the Jotun finishing the job very quickly, in exchange for the hand of a goddess in marriage, was largely unacceptable for the gods, and they expected him to fail. After seeing that he was likely going to complete it on time, they threatened violence upon Loki, and he knew he had to sabotage the Jotun's work in some way. Seeing as the Jotun's incredible horse was responsible for most of the heavy lifting, Loki went to the horse in the shape of a mare, as Loki was a renowned shapeshifter. The horse, seeing the beautiful mare, chased after Loki, causing the Jotun to fail his side of the agreement. Meanwhile, Loki became pregnant after his interaction with the horse, and soon gave birth to an eight-legged horse named Sleipnir, meaning the sliding one, or the slippery one. Sleipnir became Odin's personal steed, capable of traveling over land, sea, and air, and was used to travel between realms. Loki's most notable children, however, were with the Jotun woman, Angerboda. Although the Poetic Edda only lists the wolf Fenrir as being Loki's child with Angerboda, the Prose Edda includes Jormungand and Hel. These children were first brought up in the realm of Jotunheim, and when the Aesir gods learned of them, they discovered prophecies that spoke of the great mischief and disaster that would arise from them. The gods expected trouble from these children, partially because of who their mother was, but more so because of who their father was. Odin made the decision to deal with the children in one way or another by tossing Jormungand into the deep sea surrounding Midgard, Hel into the underworld, giving her authority over any that are sent to her, and Fenrir was eventually bound in shackles. Hel, goddess of the underworld that shares her name, is a grim and fierce figure that appears to be half living and half dead. She is generally known to be indifferent to both the living and the dead, and her name was often invoked in relation to the grave. Not much else is known about Hel, and her most significant appearance in Norse sources is in the tale of the death of Baldur, when she offered to return Baldur to the realm of the living as long as everything in the cosmos wept for him. When Loki, who is the indirect cause of Baldur's death, did not weep for him, Hel kept Baldur until the time of Ragnarok. Hel's role in Ragnarok is unknown, and it's unclear if she still lives after the event, or if she still watches over the dead. Jormungand, the Midgard serpent, was thrown into the Great Sea around the realm of Midgard when he was still somewhat small. He eventually grew large enough to wrap his body around the world and bite his own tail. It's said that when Jormungand releases his tail, Ragnarok will begin, but this does contradict the story of Thor's fishing trip, where Jormungand rises his head up out of the water. Thor's first encounter with Jormungand was in disguise, when Thor went to the keep of the Jotun, Utgard Loki. The tale is a fanciful one, only found in the prose Edda and not the poetic, and features Thor and his companions being tricked in a number of contests. These contests involve Loki competing to eat a trench of meat, but loses and later learns he was competing against wildfire itself. Thor gets into a drinking contest to drink from a large horn, but fails and later learns he was drinking the sea itself. Thor is also told to lift a giant cat, but barely does so, and later learns that the cat was actually the Midgard serpent in disguise. Thor's next encounter with Jormungand is on his fishing trip with the Jotun Hymir. Thor takes a boat far out into the sea and uses a cow's head as bait to catch Jormungand. After hooking him, he pulls his head up out of the water and attempts to kill it, but the line breaks, whether it snaps or is cut by Hymir. This is the last that Thor would see of Jormungand until Ragnarok. When Ragnarok arrives, Jormungand will come out of the sea and will poison the sky with his venom. Thor and Jormungand will do battle for the final time, with Thor slaying the serpent, but becomes poisoned by his venom. After taking 9 steps, Thor drops dead. Fenrir, meaning Fen Dweller, is the last significant child of Loki, and the gods knew that Fenrir was involved in a terrible prophecy related to the demise of Odin. They first attempted to raise the wolf amongst themselves, to keep it under their watchful eyes, and only Tyr was bold enough to approach and feed the wolf. Tyr was a strong god associated with battle and justice, and he was renowned for his bravery by feeding Fenrir. Unfortunately, Fenrir grew at a rapid rate, much like Jormungand, and so the gods decided he could not stay in Asgard. Rather than letting him roam free, they decided to bind him with chains. They crafted a strong shackle and brought it to Fenrir, claiming they wanted to test his strength. Fenrir saw that this would hardly be much of a test, and agreed to let them shackle him. He stretched his muscles, and the shackle broke easily, so the gods went and crafted a second one, twice as strong. Once again, they brought it to the wolf, saying they wanted him to test it, and he of course agreed, snapping it with slightly more effort. The gods became worried that they would not be able to bind Fenrir, and so they went to the realm of the dwarves, the most skilled craftsmen in the 9 realms, and asked them to create a magical binding that had no equal. The binding they created was forged from 6 things: the sound of a cat's footsteps, the beard of a woman, the roots of mountains, the breath of a fish, the sinews of a bear, and the spittle of a bird. This magical rope was brought to Fenrir, who suspected trickery based on how light and soft the binding looked, so he refused to be bound with it, unless one of the gods would lay their hand in his mouth, as a pledge of good faith. Of course, none of the gods were willing to lose a hand, until Tyr stepped forward and placed his hand in the mouth of the wolf. When they bound Fenrir, he attempted to get out, but as he could not, he bit off Tyr's hand and swallowed it. They took Fenrir to a desolate place and tied him to a boulder. They also placed a sword in his mouth, keeping it stuck open, and his endless drool eventually formed a river. Here he would remain until the time of Ragnarok. When Ragnarok comes, Fenrir will break free, and Odin will ride to fight him. In their battle, Fenrir will devour Odin, but Odin's son, Vidar, will avenge his father by holding open Fenrir's jaws using a special boot. This boot is formed from all of the extra leather pieces that people have cut from their own shoes. So it's said that anyone who is concerned enough to give assistance to the gods should throw those pieces away. Much like Loki, his children comprise some of the most interesting aspects of Norse mythology, although they also highlight some of the issues with fragmented source materials. Also much like Loki, his children are directly linked to the death of the gods, with Loki involved in the deaths of Baldur and Heimdall, Jormungand killing Thor, Fenrir killing Odin, and hell directly involved with death. Perhaps most interesting is a section from the Prose Edda, when a character is asked why the gods didn't kill Fenrir, since they knew the destruction that would follow him. The character responds by saying that the gods so greatly respected their holy places that they would rather have Odin die than have the wolf's blood defile them. Whether that says more about the gods or Fenrir, I'll leave for you to decide, but it's clear the gods certainly did not care for the children of Loki.